Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio two people that I have been looking forward to talking with for a long, long time. And the topic is going to be real ID. We're focused on that. And so I welcome Brian Duffy. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks very much.
And Marla Thompson.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Right. So you're both here. And I thought to begin with, I would think about the last time I used any form of ID. And the two times that popped up for me were in a bank when someone said, oh, you want money, show me your ID. And the other time was going through one of the airports, and I was passing through, and I came to TSA, and they said, show me your ID. In both cases, I pulled out my driver's license. It was very simple. It worked, and we went on about our business. What is this real ID? Let's start with Marla, because you're the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So that little piece of plastic covered identification that I used is really in your purview and something that listeners are very familiar with.
That's true. You've gone in to get your driver's license when you were 16, and we gave you a driver's license after you passed the test, and you've got your photo on there. What Real ID is the federal government came out with standards that states have to comply if they want to produce a Real ID. And those standards are really not about what kind of information we're collecting, but whether we're vetting that information. So today, if you came in to get a driver's license for the first time, I would ask you to bring in some type of source document to say that you are who you say you are. So you would bring in your passport or your birth certificate.
Okay.
And then you would bring any backup documentation to go with that as well. So let's say you had a marriage certificate as well, so your name changes. So you would bring all that information in. To provide a Real ID compliant card, we have to check that information. So we would just have to take the birth certificate and check it with the birth certificate databases that are out there and make sure that, yes, that is your birth certificate and that is real. It helps prevent fraud and people that shouldn't be getting your birth certificate or getting a driver's license in your name.
So just to make sure we're all understanding what you're doing, how do you check to see if the documentation you have provided is accurate?
Today, we take training on how to look at documentation and really just to validate that it's real. So, you know, it might be tactile. We might touch it and feel that the passport is what it's supposed to feel like. What we're going to be doing in the future is we're going to be looking at the passport agency. We'll have a database, and we will bump up against that database to say, okay, Mike came in and brought this document. Is this correct document? Is his passport active? Yes or no? And that's all it'll be doing. So it'll take it out of our hands and really provide that extra step of security.
So that seems to me to be a somewhat passive use of a database. You go out and look at it and you validate. I know there have been concerns expressed in a variety of ways about information that would be stored somewhere that is not presently stored, that would be potentially used for a nefarious purpose. What changes?
The way we do the database is, and what we're trying to do is just validate. So I think what you're talking about is state to state.
Okay.
That's the most popular thing that people are talking about. It's just that we're all required to only have one driver's license. There's in 50 states, there's 50 laws that say you can only have one driver's license. So states are required to have some way to validate that when you come to Alaska and you had a New York driver's license, that I have a way to make sure that I know that you actually did have a driver's license there. I let New York know that, hey, he's in Alaska now. He's going to have a driver's license here.
Okay.
And then New York can do whatever they need to do on their side. But we want to make sure people aren't bad drivers, because you wouldn't want to have somebody in Alaska with a bad driving record, DUIs from another state. If we didn't check for these kind of things, there wouldn't be a way for us to validate that you're a good driver and should be in Alaska.
Okay.
So that's all we're trying to do, is make sure that you have one driver's license.
So just once again, so I'm clear, because what we're really looking at, and I think the concerns that have been raised, I've heard from time to time, maybe you have, has to do with what will change in terms of accessing information about the individual in Alaska who comes down and says, I want a real ID. What more will be known about them than is not presently known?
The only thing that would be known would be whether or not that document is valid or not, because it's the same documentation that's required today.
Okay.
So for a passport or a birth certificate, we're just making sure that, yes, that is a valid document. Let's say you have a green card. And so in the new system, we would be required to validate that you have a lawful presence.
Okay.
And so that's all we're doing, is doing that extra step to check.
All right. Thank you. Now, Brian.
Sure.
You have a different role. You don't work in the Department of Motor Vehicles.
But I'm a big fan. They're a great team.
Oh. Give us your title and where you work.
Sure. I'm currently the Administrative Services Director for the Alaska State's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs down on Joint Base Elmo Ridge.
Okay.
I had 27 years of active duty in the Air Force, retired this past October as a colonel, and had the privilege of serving before in Alaska as the commander of the Joint Base and the 673rd Air Base Wing down on Jaber.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thanks.
For picking the right place to retire.
It's great to be back.
Okay. So your view is a bit different than Marla's, and perhaps it would be very useful for listeners to place where we are in Alaska as compared to other states in this whole process.
Sure. So I think as a foundational step, it's important to know that, so that Real ID Act that was passed by the federal government some time ago established standards for those forms of identification people must have to be able to access some federal facilities, U.S. military installations, and to pass through things like the TSA security checkpoints at airports. So it's really important for listeners to realize this is not something new for the military folks. It's something that's been in effect now. And so the federal installations, much like Joint Base Elmo Ridge, are complying with provisions of this Real ID Act right now. And so visitors that wish to go on the base and not have an escort and don't have an identification card with them that's compliant with this Real ID Act, what's happening is they're either being denied entry or they're being required to be escorted by someone on the base that has a DOD ID card.
Oh, so that's already in place.
It's already in place. And so there are four states right now that are not compliant with the Real ID Act. So, for example, if a visitor came up to one of the visitor control centers on the base, the Boniface one or the Richardson one, and had a driver's license, only a driver's license from Maine, Minnesota, Missouri, or Montana, there's a recent change on Washington. Washington's now moving towards compliance. If they had a driver's license only from one of those four places, and that's it, they would not be allowed unescorted access to the base. Now, what's important for Alaska is Alaska has currently got an extension to this compliance date.
Right.
And it's 6 June of this year, so it's a little more than a month away.
Okay.
And so if action is taken by the legislature right now to demonstrate some form of compliance, then, as Martha and the team know, there'll probably be a spin-up period wherein we'll get that extension extended yet again to allow the DMV team to be able to spin up that stuff. If there's no action, then it's a different matter. And what happens is Alaska driver's licenses are simply added to that listing of ID cards that are no longer acceptable for those desiring unescorted access.
So at the present time, I was listening carefully to your listing of the states. If you have an Alaska driver's license and you approach Jaber.
Sure.
Can you go on the base?
If you go there today, you could apply for unescorted access and would likely be granted using that ID.
Okay.
If there's no change by the legislature by 6 June,
right,
then on the 7th of June, if you did that same thing with this current driver's license, the story would be different.
Okay. So the remaining states that have non-compliant driver's licenses, are they moving toward compliance?
Our understanding is, yes, they are moving towards compliance. We had a sat with Department of Homeland Security the last 2 days.
Okay.
We're having discussions with folks in Juneau and letting them know. And I believe Missouri and Maine both were moving. And they said that it would be less than a handful that would not be getting an extension. So states are moving in the right direction to get this. And if we don't get that extension, then on June 7th, everything will be a little bit different. And as Brian did mention, it is going to take us a while to produce a compliant ID. And that actually will take us at least a year from now to be able to get the systems up and running. So we'll be working with Department of Homeland Security to continually get extensions showing that we're moving in the right direction. And that's how
you're making progress because the legislature has acted. That points to what kind of action does the legislature have to take in order to allow this to happen?
They need to pass a bill. And then it needs to get signed by the governor.
Okay. And the bill would state, go ahead and make this happen.
So back in 2008, I believe, there was a bill, a law put in place that the DMV and the Department of Administration could not spend any money to become Real ID compliant. And this was done in many states.
Okay.
And it was just for us to be able to spend the time and energy and money to make those connections for those systems so we can make it seamless for the customers to walk in and show us their information, let us run it through the system and make sure, yep, that's a valid one, that's great. It's going to take us a little bit of time to do that.
Okay. Any ballpark figure of what the cost would be to do it?
$1.5 million.
Oh, that's pretty specific, isn't it?
Yep, it's pretty specific. And, you know, there's systems that we have to connect to, and there's things that we have to do to our system to make it compliant. And there are various rules that we have to follow and to be able to get that compliance.
So should the legislature act, the money is spent, time goes by, we've got now Real ID. The other point made a number of times is that one possibility of how this would work is to have two IDs. You'd have the choice, Real ID or old style.
That's correct. And the governor put two bills when he released his bills, and that would have a compliant license and a non-compliant. So the non-compliant would not get you base access or access to TSA, but the compliant license would.
Okay.
And so basically, if you look at the different driver's license, it's a little gold star on the driver's license that would say that that's compliant. The non-compliant IDs would not have, would say not not used for federal purposes.
Okay. So maybe from the two of you, Brian in particular, looking at other states, have other states done this two license approach?
Yes. In fact, there are two in particular. Washington and Minnesota have what they call an enhanced license, which is that form of choice then. People can use that now to access federal facilities, to use for passing through TSA checkpoints. And I believe in the cases of those two states may also be useful for crossing the border into and out of Canada, which is a unique feature for them.
Oh, yes. So what will happen for Alaska?
We are not going to do the enhanced card. We're just going to do the Real ID and the non-compliant. The enhanced takes a little bit more work because it is similar to a passport because you would be able to go through.
All right. Got that. I understand. And we've mentioned passports, and some people already have passports and passport cards and may be comfortable saying, I've got those, so if I carry that card, I don't have a dog in this particular race or fight.
There is nothing wrong with that. We just want to give options.
Okay, sure. So the other question has to do with the experience both in other states and the projected situation here in Alaska around just how many people would choose, given the choice, to go with Real ID or not. So what kind of projection?
So we projected 50% of coming in, and we've actually looked, and based on all of the discussion, we feel like that in Alaska would probably be a little higher. And a lot of the numbers that we looked at were a few years out, because we're all going towards the October 2020 date that people have to have that card in hand. And so if you back it up to how many months is it going to take us to process enough? So we're anywhere between 50 and 70% of customers. is our projection.
So now you've talked about a date, 2020. Tell us a little bit more about that.
There's a few dates. So 2020, October 2020 is the furthest date out, and that is when the Real ID Act is complete. Everybody has to have the actual card in hand. And basically, Homeland Security won't give states extensions past that is what they've said.
Okay.
So everybody needs to have enough time to do that. Now, the next date, you know, we talked about is June 6th of this year. And then January 18th of this coming year, so 2018. So that's the next date, and that would be TSA is the next. So if we don't pass this, then you would have to have something compliant, which would be a passport. Brian has a good list here of all the things that TSA accepts to get on a plane.
So, Brian, maybe run through some of those others.
Sure, and if you don't mind, this is right off of the Transportation Security Administration's website.
Okay.
And it lists about a dozen or more different forms of ID. Driver's license, of course, the ones that are compliant, a U.S. passport, a U.S. passport card, a DHS trusted traveler card, something like Global Entry or Nexus, Sentry or Fast, a U.S. military ID card, either active duty or retired, and also including that for dependents, a permanent resident card, a border crossing card, DHS designated enhanced driver's license, much like we mentioned from the two states before, an airline or airport issued ID, a federally recognized tribal issued photo ID. I'm not familiar with this one, but I'll read it. It says an HSPD-12 PIV card. I'd have to look that up some more. A foreign government issued passport, a Canadian provincial driver's license or Indian or Northern Affairs Canada card, a transportation worker identification card or credential or TWIC card. That's for a lot of guys and gals that go in and out of the ports, like the Port of Anchorage is a great example. U.S. citizenship and an Immigration Services Employment Authorization card or an I-766. And the last one shown here is a U.S. Merchant Mariner credential. So it's about 12 or more that are possible.
Okay. So the summing up at this point, my understanding is I started by talking about a couple of examples where I conveniently reach into my wallet because I always carry my driver's card. And I could take that out and show people that I am who I say I am as an ID. And so the convenience factor seems to me to be the whole key, rather than saying, do I have my passport, my other cards, et cetera. Presumably, many people find it easy to carry their driver's license. So it seems to make sense to have that and have it be useful in a variety of different ways. Looking at this a slightly different way, the Real ID, and this question is directed to you, Marla, how does it have other magic powers to be used in other places than the present driver's ID is used? How about that?
Magic powers?
So
basically it would be, you'd be able to use it on TSA and base, but those are places that you can use it today.
I'm thinking about places where you presently, is this going to be enhanced in a direction that will make it more powerful than the standard drivers?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
But that's a great question.
That would be interesting if that were the case in any case.
But again, you would have two choices. So you have your compliant or your non-compliant.
We brushed by that pretty quickly because the other factors involved in this, not so much cost to DMV and the state of Alaska, but to the individual who's getting a card. Different costs for these two cards?
So the difference between the Real ID card has not been, it's been bouncing around a little bit in the bill. So it will come up, you know, the original bill was $5 more. And I believe right now we're sitting at anywhere between 10 and 20.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's wherever it ends up. It is a little bit more. I would say that if you looked at it compared to a passport or a passport card, it will be much more economical. As well as if you lose your passport, that process is a little bit more difficult than the DMVs, where we would be able to at least give you a copy of your driver's, because you know your driver's license is for driving.
Right.
You'd like to be able to say that this is for driving, but we could get you going really quick. And then you'd have your driver.
So we've referred to the legislature as pondering the bills. The governor has obviously offered something. The legislature is presently down almost to the wire, unless there are extended sessions. You must be following this whole process. Where actually is it at the present time as we're talking? What committee, subcommittee, et cetera, place is it in all this? Do you have a sense of that?
They're both in the finance committees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have moved into the finance committees.
Finance committees, both the House and the Senate.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So it's possible that they would pass this session. If they do not, we've already said, okay, that's going to cause some people concern as they face the dates in June. And actually in January, because the second half of this legislative session won't begin until about the time it's going to take effect. So there might be connections between people in Alaska and legislators, if it doesn't pass, about how it has affected their lives.
I'd say so. And so what I think you'll see is maybe not an immediate and dramatic impact.
Okay.
The way people that have recurring need to have unescorted access to the installations get that is the base issues, what's called a Defense Biometrics Identification System card, or a DBITS card. And that typically goes for about 1 year. And so what are examples of people that might have that? So state of Alaska employees, like those that work in the DMVA that don't have a DOD ID card, the various Anchorage school districts, there are 5 schools that are on the base right now.
Right.
So the teachers, the support staff, they'll petition the base for a 1 year pass, which is that DBITS card. Now, to get that, they have to provide a proper form of identification, which before 6 June, an Alaska driver's license in its current form serves that purpose. Absent movement by the legislature after 6 June, they have to get another form of ID to be able to get that 1 year pass. Now, what will happen is not all of those 1 year passes will turn cold on the 6th of June. They'll run their normal term. So, as an example, a state of Alaska employee that got a DBITS pass on September of 2016 with their current driver's license will be good until September of 17 or whatever that term is. Maybe it's August. But upon renewal, they'll either have to bring in their current driver's license if there is action by the legislature, or they'll have to bring in some other form of ID to get that DBITS pass renewed. So our department, the school district, and others have advised their employees that, look, you need to be aware and be able to make sure you can get to work. So if it means getting a passport to do so, please do so.
Okay, so that information is being passed to people who most need to hear it. Well, I'm Mike Malevsky, and we've been talking about Real ID and its present status in the state of Alaska, and we have a few minutes left, and I'm thinking that some people who may have heard part of this interview may want more information. Where would someone go to learn more about it, to ask questions, get answers, and all the rest of that? Marla?
Well, there's several different places you can start. You could start with the DMV website, so on the Alaska.gov DMV.
Okay.
And then you can also go to TSA websites and Homeland Security Real ID FAQ. If you just Google that, and it'll pop right in there. There's a ton of good information about what's going to be required, what IDs are accepted, and dates, so people can understand what dates and how it's going to affect them.
Okay.
They can also come in and talk to us at the DMV, give us a jingle, and we can give them the dates as well.
And all of the DMV offices, our own in Palmer, et cetera, have information about Real ID.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, very good. Brian.
So a couple other options that come to mind. So the installations, I think, have done a good job on their websites of pushing out information. So if people were to Google Jaber Real ID, Fort Wainwright Real ID, Eielson Real ID, you'll be able to see the installations and pushing that information out. In addition, I know Jaber has at both of their installations, visitor control centers, the Richardson one and the Boniface one, produced flyers that sort of lay out the Real ID Act and things that people are going to have to know and important options that they'll have available to them should the legislature not act.
Okay. Have we missed anything?
I think the last bit that I offer for the listeners is there are some that are suggesting that the installation commanders have some form of waiver authority or local option on whether they want to enforce federal law or not. Unfortunately, that's not the case. They have no option. They will comply with federal law much as they are now. And again, depending on what happens on or before the 6th of June, Alaska will simply be added or not to that listing of of either compliant forms or non-compliant forms of ID.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both, Brian and Marla, for coming in here and sharing your understanding. And I have moved forward. I think I, although I've read about this, et cetera, I think I have a sense of it. And I'll be looking carefully to see what the legislature does. That's the next step.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.